Iowa everywhere.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Spring is here. It's time to start thinking about family fun in the outdoors. This is Chris Williams promoting my good friends at Plaza RV in Bonder Ranch. I've now bought two travel trailers from this locally owned company in the past 5 years. It's completely changed my family's life. We love spending time in the outdoors, tailgating, and most of all, being together. Camping has been an awesome escape for us, and I would encourage you to think about it as well. Head over to their lot in Bonder Ranch. They have motorhomes, travel trailers, truck trailers, fifth wheels, and more. Check them out today at PlazaRV.com. They're 100% locally owned. Tell them that Chris Williams sent you.
John Miller, Chris Williams. From the Channel Seed Studios, it's Miller and Williams. Presented by Wild Rose Casino and Hotel. Three locations in Iowa.
Three times the fun.
You'd rather be here. This is Iowa Everywhere.
How are you, John Miller?
I'm good, buddy. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Elise wanted to come give me a kiss before she left. That's nice, isn't it?
That's fantastic. Dude, there's no better way to start the day than that. There just really isn't. Really isn't.
Where are you at?
I am in downtown Charlotte and, went to my first ever. Yeah, home of NASCAR. I could probably pee off my balcony right on top of the NASCAR Hall of Fame, but I wouldn't do that. Five blocks away from the NBA arena, went and caught my first ever regular season NBA game last night. And, needless to say, I was unimpressed. Just
really,
unimpressed.
Who'd you see? Charlotte and who?
Charlotte and OKC.
OKC.
And it just, I mean, they play music during like the home possession. Like they play this like vibe music
dum,
and
bum, then bum, we, bum,
No. Not even talking about that. I'm talking like, you know, hip hop bassline stuff with beats. And I'm like, what? This is really freaking weird. Didn't like it. Especially having watched college basketball, men's and women's all weekend long and thinking, boy, this isn't the reason why I don't really watch the NBA, but it's not for me. College basketball is where it's at. And boy, did we have a smorgasbord this weekend.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about. The Calipari and Kentucky news broke late last night. We'll get to that. I do want to thank our friends at the Wild Rose Casinos in Clinton, Emmitsburg, and Jefferson for sponsoring Miller and Williams here on Iowa Everywhere. Of course, we're in the Channel Seed Studios, which can go anywhere. If you guys missed yesterday's kind of special Sunday edition of Two Guys, you can go back and listen to it. The first 20 minutes or so is all Iowa women's basketball preview. And then after that, we purposely left it kind of evergreen so that it wouldn't completely date the show within like 3 hours.
Right.
So that's a option for you today. Miller was kind enough to come on and keep this 8:30 Monday spot going with me as Hassel is covering the Final Four. He'll be on CBS Sports Network, I think, at 2 o'clock Central today, right when this I got to be honest, John, and you know me, I enjoy. I love space. I'll sit there and read like these weird astronomy magazines. Like I genuinely love it. I'm so tired of hearing about this eclipse. I'm just tired of it. Like they've overdone the eclipse for me. The media has killed it for me. I just got to be honest with you. I don't even care about it anymore.
I really, if I was in your position, I'd ask myself why it's bothered me so much, because that's all it point. Is this something that's happened hundreds of times within the last several centuries? And, you know, as long as the planet's still here, is going to keep happening. To me, the question, the thing I'm most fascinated by, which, by the way, I'm going to be on a plane today, left side of the plane, seeing the eclipse above the clouds. I don't know how much better that could possibly be.
Don't look. It'll blind you.
I got a camera. I'm going to use this. I'm good.
No, you'll still go blind. Al Roker just told me this.
I won't. I won't look. It'll be like Medusa. I watched Clash of the Titans as a kid 15 times. I know what not to do. So to me, the fascinating thing is we're alive as a species and we have consciousness at this point in time in the history of the universe, at this exact time where the sun has a mass 400 times larger than the mass of the moon, I think. And the moon is 400 times. There's like a ratio to where the moon is almost a perfect size to block out the sun. It's really, really wild. Now, in a few million years, as the moon continues to move farther away from the Earth, that won't be the case. But hey, man, we got it now. Living is good.
It's a good time to be alive. You're not wrong. All right. Yep. I apologize for all of my eclipse slander. I take it all back. John's right. It shouldn't bother me.
Nope. It's a you problem.
I'm taking the girls to the local library today for an eclipse event.
There you go. Fantastic. And, you know, and it's kind of in the same vein as like people hating on Caitlin Clark that we saw some.
It's not
we
the
saw
same
some
thing.
Weird. We totally saw different. Some weird push, but I'm giving you the opportunity of a segue, my friend. So shut up.
Okay.
And all these people clapping on her, all these greats of all time. All of a sudden this weekend things blew up. Well, she's got to win one to be considered a GOAT and all this stuff and the other and all this hate that comes on. She's on TV too much or Taylor Swift's on TV too much. And all this. Ain't nobody, Taylor and Caitlin ain't asking for it. Now they're taking it, but they ain't asking the producers and the directors to do all this for them. So if you're hating on somebody because they're exposed, hate on the networks. Don't hate on the eclipse, Chris. Don't hate on the eclipse.
Perfect segue.
Thank you. Now, this would be where you go. Speaking of Caitlin Clark.
Speaking of Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes. Listen, we all watched the game. There's not a single person watching or listening to our show that didn't watch the game. It felt a little bit like physically like a David versus Goliath matchup when you looked at the points in the paint and the rebounds. Ultimately, a couple things happened here. Iowa was going to lose in the paint. They were going to lose on the boards. They couldn't lose that bad, right? Like they just got destroyed. So that's one. South Carolina hit open shots. We knew that if that was the case, if they had a good shooting day, it would be a really hard opportunity for Iowa to win. And Iowa didn't go like 60% from three, which they were probably going to have to do. Yada, yada, yada. Here we are. Iowa loses. But it was a great game. And listen, I thought that game just about what I thought. It was probably a little more lopsided with the final score. But I think if anybody watch the game, you thought that Iowa played them really tough. The problem is, and Chris and I alluded to this, it's the end of the road, right? Like this feels, we had a guy tweeted us, it feels a little bit like the Bulls in 95 or 96, mm-hmm. whatever, because that run is over. And I'm sure Lisa Bluter will have a good team next year. She'll put something together and they're going to be very competitive. But this run with Martin, with Marshall, kind of the Rodman and Pippen to Jordan, right, or however want to put it, this run is over. And that's what made yesterday tough.
It did, but I will say that I wasn't sad yesterday. I was disappointed for the athletes on Iowa's team who didn't get to achieve a goal that they'd set. So I was disappointed for them in that regard. But emotionally for me, it was house money once they made the Final Four. I did not think that they would make the Final Four this season before it began. I wanted that so much for them to experience that weekend again because they'd done it once. And and I was just so, so happy for them. And listening to their commentaries after the game, it just filled me with such joy and instant nostalgia for something I just witnessed that I know that I will not live to witness again. I never will, because there will never be anything like that for me as a fan ever again. And I'm just so grateful. I don't find any sense of disappointment or sadness today. I am just, it's pure gratitude. Pure gratitude that the team that is, the fandom of my sports life has been tied with the Iowa Hawkeyes. So they're my team, and that women's team was so much fun to watch these last 2 years. And it's difficult to compare things from when you're a child to when you're an adult, because things are just way bigger in different ways than when you're a kid. But I can safely say that certainly as an adult, this Iowa women's team these last 2 years. It's my favorite moments of my fandom ever. And it's not even close. It's not even close. That's awesome. And Caitlin Clark has permanently, for all time, etched herself in whatever Iowa's Mount Rushmore is, along with Niall Kinnick. And the other two spots, you can debate them.
Yeah. I've had that conversation with people before. I mean, I think Caitlin is at the top.
I don't disagree. It's not even close.
Yeah, I mean, Niall Kinnick, like, it, Heisman, obviously, war hero, like, there's all this, but, like, the longevity of, like, it, granted, I don't want to say there's not longevity in what Niall Kinnick did. That's a poor way of phrasing it, but
it's like, a fact.
Caitlin Clark is on her way to be, like, a, not only a sports, but, like, a cultural icon, too, right? Like, that's going to live, I mean, I don't know, like, I've called her, like, what she did for women's college basketball, like, it's Jordan-esque, right? Like, we're, I think the better way to put it, probably, and I've seen some people do this, but like her, Reese, probably Paige Beckers, you know, this like core that's there right now, it's a little bit like the Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, Barkley thing of the NBA in the late 80s, early 90s. It just, it feels like that. I still have my doubts if all of this carries to the WNBA. I don't know. I still think there's a large portion of people who, not all, of course, they are enamored by Caitlin and the skills that she has and what she's brought to the sport. But I still think there's a large portion of people who cheer for laundry. Like,
For sure.
They'll support her in the WNBA. But when she's playing every other night on in June and July, it's different to make it like appointment television. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I do understand what you're saying. And I don't know that we're going to see, we certainly won't see, you know, television ratings on par with what we've experienced. But I think you're going to see a, so there is a, I think you can buy an online subscription for the full WNBA like season pass and you can watch all the games.
Those will go up.
I promise you this, I am subscribing, period.
I probably will, to be honest, John. Yeah, I probably will, too.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many good players that are coming in, and I think this is the part of, this is the start of it. I'm not taking anything away from these players that have put in the work and done so in relative anonymity once they became professionals. That is the difficult part, preparing, laying the groundwork in anonymity, not getting the claps on the backs and the attaboy and attagirls. When you do things like this in anonymity, but you still grind and do it, there is a huge debt of respect to be paid to that. But I think that with the eyeballs that were on Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, Paige will be there in a year, and, you know, Cardoso, these names now are not names that that I think, you know, sports fans have to go look up online to know who they are. They know there's name value now. There's never been this much, this wide of name value, probably going into an NBA draft, maybe ever. And Caitlin has made millions of people now fans of a sport that they weren't fans of before or paid very little attention to. So I absolutely think they're going to be boosted. I think the Caitlin Clark effect in arenas is absolutely going to continue. 37 of Iowa's 39 games they played this year, according to Scott Dockerman this morning, were sellouts. They only had 14 or 15, well, with the NCAA tournament, 16-ish home games. So over half their games were on the road or neutral sites, and only two didn't sell out. Yeah. That's incredible. That's going to continue.
I think it will too. There's a couple interesting parts of this. One, you mentioned like the like kind of the old guard of women's basketball, and you know, many of them have been less than gracious. I don't know how to put it. I'm trying to be kind of political with how I put that. Is that a fair way to put it? Like they haven't.
It seems like there was some tearing down of Caitlin Clark this weekend from some of the all time greats, and then yesterday some of them were already backtracking. And it took place on Friday night with UConn, and it was many former UConn people. It was just really, really petty. And well, it's like, wait a second, What are you trying to tear someone down for that is putting this much spotlight on the game? Yeah, she didn't start it all, but she's not the one that's out there saying, yes, I'm the greatest thing of all time. It's other people. Yeah. That sort of bullshit does not elevate the game.
Yeah, it's jealousy. What I was trying to do mentally is like, has this happened in other sports? And I think about like the old football guys who are clearly jealous of the salaries that the new football guys make. I don't know. I hope that changes. I could also see a target being on not only Caitlin, but Angel Reese and a lot of these. I could see them getting to the WNBA and a lot of these pros are going to want to make an example of them and show them you're not the greatest player in the world. That'll be an interesting thing for me to watch just from a storyline. I like to watch Aaliyah Boston and Caitlin Clark on the same team, the young guns going up against. I think it'll be awesome, like personally.
Yeah. And think of the spacing that Caitlin Clark's instantly going to come in and provide for Aaliyah Boston, and then the spacing that Caitlin's going to get. Because I don't expect Caitlin Clark to average, 28 or more points per game in her rookie year. Who knows if she ever does that? But I do expect Caitlin Clark to break the at some point in her career, if she's healthy, to break the single season assist per game average of 10.0. I think that she can do that because I think when she's around talented bigs like Aaliyah Boston, when she's around players that can catch, that have better hands, that like Cardoso, her hands are incredible. That's one of the big takeaways we had watching this game this weekend. Her hands are so soft, and sometimes Caitlin's passes are just a little more advanced than what her teammates could handle.
Absolutely.
At the next level, that changes. So I think Caitlin's going to be a walking double-double for next year, I think, still. And, yeah, but whenever rookies would come into the NFL or the NBA, it's like, hey, Rook, they have their hazing. There's some mistreatment. There's people that want to size them up, show them how the cabbage is cut. There's going to be some of that in this game, but it'll be interesting to see how many of them can absolutely take Caitlin out the way that some people have tried to in the college game, like what UConn did to her the other night with face guarding back to the basketball most of the time from her defender. You're not doing that in the WNBA.
No.
Caitlin, the defenses Caitlin plays will become easier than they were in college. It's just that the person guarding her man-to-man is probably going to be a lot quicker, but it's going to be man-to-man. Caitlin's going to have her shot. I can't wait to see it.
Last take for me on this is I watch a lot of women's college basketball. I have not watched a ton of WNBA in my life, and I'm just being honest. I don't think most people have who are probably watching it. The one thing I have noticed when I do watch it, when I tuned into the finals a little bit last year, like it still seems like it's a little more women's college basketball 15 years ago compared to what you see now when you turn on the NCAA tournament, which is you talked about the spacing, the range. There are players who can do that. It's a little bit like the opposite of the NBA in men's college basketball. Where the NBA is a much freer, analytical. It sucks that they play 82 games because I wish that they played like 30 games and started the playoffs because I think the NBA would just be so much more interesting to watch on a.
Talked about that last night.
But college basketball, it's like the freedom of movement sucks. It's like you got all these coaches that are deliberately trying to make the game as ugly as possible. It's not that skilled anymore. I feel like women's college basketball is like what the NBA is in the women's game, and the WNBA is like where the college men's game is. And I'm hoping that this infusion of these younger players is going to continue to, even that out because it's such a damn fun product. Like the passing in women's college, and it's there in the WNBA too. Don't get me wrong, but it feels like there's still a little bit of that. Prior era, the before Steph Curry kind of changed what women's college basketball could be, and then you have people like Caitlin emulating it. That's what I'm excited about, to see if that can move up to that level, and I think it will. It's just one of those things, John. It takes time.
Yeah, it takes time. Probably at some point in time, I wonder if the WNBA will remove its minimum age requirement to be eligible for the draft. So that players like Caitlin Clark last year could have considered going pro. Now, it certainly is healthy for the college game. And yeah, ultimately, that's going to be healthy for the WNBA right now. So I wouldn't be in a huge hurry to change that rule for maybe another 5 years or so. Let Juju Watkins play 4 years. Let her take a run at all of Caitlin Clark's records, because Juju Watkins is unbelievable. And but at some point in time, you know, maybe after your third year, give early opt-out opportunities, because it just seems like the women's game is going to new heights, and that's going to trickle into the WNBA game to lift it to new heights. And if the style of play can be more free flowing, like we see in the college women's game, then I am interested 110%. I have had my fill of historically physical Big Ten basketball, currently physical Big 12 basketball. It's not like the Big Ten's a cakewalk. I hate it. It's not basketball. It's not free flowing. It's not how the rules are set. It's just how the officiating allows it to be called. And the women's game to me the last few years has been more entertaining. Now, that could be biased because my favorite team has the best offensive women's basketball player in college history. We'll see what I think about that next year, and I will be watching. But yeah, I just love free flowing, and I hate basket brawl.
Well put. We'll get into tonight's game with UConn and Purdue. I want to thank a couple of our great sponsors, Terraplex Ag. If you are a farmer and you are not, at the very least, considering getting into the drone technology game, you are going to get left behind. Advanced technology, expert advice, productivity accelerated. Go to TerraplexAg.com. And I know you guys are just getting ready to start planting and all that good stuff. It's a great time to think about this. They'll come right out and show you everything that they got. My good buddies over at Terraplex Ag.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Also want to do a Kelderman Manufacturing Bigger, Better, Bolder. I didn't tell you we were going to do this. You're familiar with the segment. Mine goes to Kentucky because Kentucky just got like an Iowa State Greg McDermott gift here with John Calipari going to Arkansas. I think Kentucky was on the hook to pay him like $32 million. This thing had become very toxic. I actually felt for both sides. Like Calipari's this guy, like they gave him a lifetime contract. What was he supposed to do? Turn it down at the point, right? The guy's aging a little bit. All the rules, not like John Calipari was paying attention to any rules, but my point is the baseline of whatever everybody was doing in that sport completely switches. He is out of date and, you know, refuses to evolve a little bit. Kentucky starts to sputter. It turns very toxic. Meanwhile, so Kentucky wants out. Then you have Calipari, one of the greatest of all time, whatever you think of him. And, you know, I'm assuming John, a guy in that position, is kind of like, well, screw you people. Like, you don't, what I've done for you, you gave me this kind of, like, and now you're all turning on me. Screw you people. I want out. So this is a good deal for both sides in this. But Bigger, Better, Bolder with Kelderman today goes to Kentucky being able to get out of that contract without really having to do anything. This is a perfect deal, perfect situation for a place where you pick up the phone, you're Kentucky basketball, you can call Billy Donovan with the Bulls, you can call Scott Drew at Baylor, you can call anybody you want if you're Kentucky
basketball. You call T.J. Otzelberger with Iowa State.
I knew it was coming. Old Johnny
Miller. Why wouldn't you call them? No, what do you mean? Wait, all I hear is T.J. Otzelberger is an amazing coach, and I don't disagree. Why wouldn't they call him?
I will say this. If I were Kentucky, I would absolutely call Otzelberger because I think T.J. is a top five coach in the entire sport. I don't think
they will. But it's the Hawkeye guy John Miller being a dick.
I don't think that they will, though, because it's Kentucky, and they have an elevated sense of what and who they are.
For sure.
They're going to want somebody who's won a national championship, NBA guy.
The Alabama
Billy
coach,
Donovan's
maybe.
The guy I call. I'm calling Billy Donovan, right? Or actually, there's two. Nate Oates is the guy that I call. He's in your
$18 million buyout. Bigger, better, bolder. That would be bold.
That's half of what you're going to have to pay Calipari, so you're still winning there.
That's a good point.
Young up and come, the guy has navigated NIL at Alabama, right? Like trying to deal with their football program. You give him the resources of Kentucky basketball, and on top of it, you're also crippling one of your rivals in your conference. I don't know if Kentucky's too worried about that. Like, to me, Oates is an absolute slam dunk. I've known Nate. I don't know if you know this, John. I've known Nate Oates since he was a high school coach in Michigan.
No, didn't know that.
Really a good dude. I really like him a lot. I was hoping he could win a national championship this year, but this is a guy who he would be a home run. Like, I saw Goodman put out Billy Donovan. I was like, that's perfect because the Bulls don't really want to keep him anyways. And I would guess, like, if you would have told Billy Donovan like 5 years ago, hey, you want to be the head coach of Kentucky, he would have jumped at that. Now, the problem is, right, like, does he want to jump back into the NIL thing? I don't know. But, like, if you're Kentucky, you call Jay Wright. Hey, Jay, would you be interested in coming back? Worst thing he could do is tell you no. You're Kentucky. You can make all of these phone calls. That's why I'd be surprised if a guy like Otzelberger, as young as he is, you know, the best that he's done really well. But in the eyes of a Kentucky fan, oh, this guy's only made it to the Sweet 16. That's not fair.
Agreed.
But that's how they look at it in these blue blood type programs.
All right. I agree with your analysis 110%. I'm really kind of mildly irritated that I get thrown under the bus for mentioning it when you just make a case for him being qualified enough to be talked to, but they won't because of it. I agree with all that. So,
PJ
Altenberger has the pedigree. If you were to ask me for a bigger, better bolder, I'm not sure if this is in the spirit of it or not, but Dawn Staley.
Oh, yeah, she's fantastic.
Dawn Staley this weekend. She was asked questions at press conferences that no men's coach is ever going to be answered. I think it was the douchebags from Outkick that did that. She handled it with incredible aplomb. They're not asking the men's coaches what they think of potential, you know, trans involvement in sports. They're asking Don, and Don handled it like a professional. Don handles most things like an incredible professional, and her taking time out in her podium speech on national television to shout out for Caitlin and the weight that Caitlin has been carrying around this year on her back, the back of the sport that she didn't ask to carry. I thought that was amazing. That was what a graceful display of just kindness and humanity. So Dawn Staley, hats off to you. I would take my hat off, but my hair is horrible. You know what? Forget about it. Don,
I'll
talk to you.
Man, I still can't believe you're going to be flying.
Aiden, don't screen cap that. I'm not authorizing that.
Okay. If you're Kentucky, though, like, what minus calling TJ Otzelberger, I'm a big proponent of calling Nate Oates. I think you could do a hell of a lot worse than that. I think the worst thing they could do not bring back Rick Pitino. He's 71 years old. This is that's a bad idea. Do not do it. Do not touch him.
No.
I think that Oates is the $18 million. Maybe he's not worth that. I don't know. But again, I'm like a big believer in hurting one of your rivals at the same time. Like, you're probably going to flatline Alabama basketball for a while if you can do that in this era. Oates is bringing in 5-star guys there to Tuscaloosa.
Right,
you know,
right.
Where he's had to wrangle with Nick Saban for NIL money in the past, right? Like, it's been a very real thing down there. I think that he would be an absolute star. I also think there's an element of this Kentucky thing where if I were a TJ Otzelberger, or if I were even, I don't know about Nate Oates, if I'm, let's say, Scott Drew, another name that's been tossed out there, I don't know if I want to go there, to be honest. And I know it's maybe the best program in the history of college basketball. It's definitely top three, but the amount of pressure, and it's not like the NIL thing. I think in this aspect, especially in basketball, John, has really evened things out. Like, if I'm Scott Drew and I have this thing rolling in Waco, I can do whatever I want down there. I don't have to answer to an athletic director, basically, because I run the town. Why am I getting it's a private institution. I'm making millions of dollars. I'm richer than I ever thought I would be. I've won a national championship. I'm in the mix to go to a Final Four seemingly every year. Why am I doing this to go and take my family and put that kind of pressure where they were a 3 seed this year and lost, right? Like, and there you'd act like John Calipari's, you know, like losing in the NIT to whoever it was again. Like, it's a lot of pressure there. And I just don't think you have to be at a blue blood now to win big.
No, you don't. In this new era, you don't need to do that. And I think that quality of life is something that people probably need to pay a greater amount of respect to. Like, we moved our kids too many times. We should have stayed put in certain places longer just for their better well-being. So that's definitely a parenting regret that I have. And I think you're right. And he can be financially secured for the rest of his life, his children's life, and his grandchildren's life. But I will tell you, from an entrepreneurial standpoint, and you know I brought this up before on the show and to you personally, it is not always or exclusively about the money. It is so much about the mountain, mm-hmm. climbing the mountain,
yeah.
slaying dragons. My biggest fear of retiring is not that, oh, I won't have enough of this or that, I'll be fine. My biggest fear of retiring is Caesar wept for there were no more worlds to conquer. So I'm already planning what worlds I want to conquer when I retire from this, you know, particular avenue in my life and move on to the next, because some people are wired to climb mountains. And Nate Oates may be that guy, and you just don't know if he is or not.
I think he is, knowing him just a little bit, the small amount that I do. I think that this would be an attractive job for him. Just his career is unbelievable. Like, it really is. He goes from being a super successful high school coach in Michigan to Buffalo, where he goes to NCAA tournaments. So I know him because he coached a bunch of Iowa State players. So back when my scout mm-hmm. days, when we first got to know each other, Iowa State was recruiting like three of Will Clyburn went there, Dominic Buckley, Charlie Henry, who was on Fred Hoiberg's staff, was Nate's assistant. Nate Schmidt, who is now TJ Otzelberger's assistant, was an assistant coach for Nate Oates. So, like, there's a lot of Iowa State tentacles within mm-hmm. this guy. So he goes from there to Buffalo, dominates the MAC, and then he gets this Bama job. Like, so he went from a high school coach to potentially being the next coach at Kentucky in like a decade. That's crazy. You do not
it's
see
like,
that
you know,
coaching.
The only thing I mean, I don't even know if this is analogous, but Air Parsegian, or no, not Air Parsegian. Who was it after Jerry, the guy before Lou Holtz at Notre Dame? I can't remember his name. He was like a real Jerry Faust was a very successful low-level guy and then gets the Notre Dame job and was trash. But Oates has actually done something. So that's a heck of a climb by Oates.
All right. Do you have a feel on tonight's game? Aiden Wyatt.
Oh, do I have a feel? Go ahead.
Bring up our DRF sportsbook line for tonight. Miller and I are going to come up with a parlay. I want to make sure we get the exact line. It's Purdue and UConn. What are you feeling tonight, Johnny? I mean,
well,
we got to pick UConn, right?
I can tell you what I'm feeling, and I did not do a parlay. The Prince's March Madness has been good. I didn't send you any screenshots 2 days ago or yesterday because you've slandered me quite a bit, so I'm not going to send you anymore. I did send some to you. So what I did is I teased UConn down to -5. What would the juice be if we teased UConn down to -5 here? I'm not sure here we go. Look at this guy. Let's see what we go. UConn -5. One more thing. One more. That's
143.
So what's 143? That's better than I got 145. So DRF is kicking some tail. And I leaned hard into that. It's my largest wager I've ever made of all time. And it's all 100% from March Madness profits. So I'm not going back into the savings account. So I got down heavy on UConn -5.
Yeah. So I'll brag here for a minute. This is the championship game that I picked because of, I thought Purdue, like whenever I've watched Edie this year, I just think that they're having a really hard time officiating him. I've said this on a couple shows. Yeah. And those guards are older. I thought that they would be upset proof in this tournament because of that. Like that, and you know, you get your ass kicked by a 16, you know, you get upset, like it changes you. You approach things differently. We saw that with Virginia, right? They lost and came back and won the national championship, I want to say, the next year. So I thought they were upset proof getting to this point. The problem is now you're looking at a UConn team that is you, but better. They're just better than you.
Better guards.
Yeah, they've got, you know, their big man is not Zach Edey, but he can somewhat neutralize him, right? Like it's not this complete and total mismatch like we saw yesterday with Cardoso in the Iowa post, right? Where it was just like, that's not even fair. Like that's not the case now with Zach Edey and UConn like it was a bunch of these earlier games in the tournament. So I'm with you. I think that I would probably even play UConn at the 6.5. I think they win this game by double digits. I think that they're just that much better than everybody else.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that they're going to win this game. Looking forward to watching it. I think that, you know, the guy that from UConn, the 7-footer that Edie will be going up against, that guy doesn't have a lot of junk in his trunk. I think I would, if I was Purdue early on, I would just pound it into him. See how Connecticut's going to play. Are they going to drop a double down? Edie, quit bringing that ball below your waist. You know, what are they? How are they going to react to when Edie gets a one-on-one situation on a block? You want to see how they react, and if they're going to allow him to play straight up, feed that, get the 7-footer from UConn in foul trouble, and go there. Now, if they're starting to play junk, Edie's a really good passer out of the post, and it's going to be on him to hit guys in the wings, and then it's going to be on to Purdue to hit the threes. And, you know, similarly, it's going to be on UConn. What are they going to do? Because Edie is one of the best rim protectors we've seen in the sport for a long time. And, you know, like Cardoso last night, she basically altered that game even beyond her stat sheet.
You're rooting for Purdue, aren't you? Or I guess probably not now that you made the bet. You said it's the biggest
probably
bet of
not
your life.
Now the biggest bet of my life. And if I lose it, I still wind up profitable for March. But yes, I will root for the bet, but if Purdue wins, no big deal. I've got friends, people that I've worked with for a long time that are Purdue fans, and I would be happy if they're
Why
happy,
do I so have sympathy for Purdue? Why do I?
Because they, like somebody joked on Twitter, they showed a video of Purdue students taking the streets in West Lafayette. They said this is the first ever street celebration in Purdue University history. That program, their Final Four drought was pretty, you know, their Final Four drought's the same length as Iowa's, the Iowa men, 1980. And they have suffered some very, very painful NCAA losses with some really good teams, not just recently, but, you know, back Glenn Big Dog Robinson and things like that. They've had so much talent go through that program to not make it back to a Final Four. It's insane.
That's probably it.
But I won't shed a tear if they lose.
No.
Because I hate the arena.
All right, brother. Well, we appreciate you jumping on here. Monday
thanks for
morning.
Having me.
Do not stare at the eclipse from that plane. I don't want you to go blind.
I mean, I'm almost there like, anyway.
Isn't that like you know, I'm watching my daughter Cameron is wise beyond her years. She gets up at 6:45 every day so she can be there right at the 7 o'clock hour start of the Today Show. She wants her news. And I know. She's incredible. And it's all like, do not stare at the sun. And then this like eye doctor comes on. He's like, yeah, well, the last time, like 5 years ago when this happened, there were fewer than 100 people that actually got eye damage, but it can happen. It's like, well, wait a minute. Now you people are trying to like, you're fear mongering me here not to look at the sun. If fewer than 100 people, do you know how many people looked up at that thing?
Or maybe because we have such confidence. Maybe because we have such confidence in the intelligence of the human species, they got the warning and they didn't look at the sun. But wait a second. Who am I kidding? That didn't happen. All right, I got to jump on a plane, buddy.
Get out of here. John Miller, thanks to Aiden Wyatt for producing, signing off from the Channel Seed Studios. We're produced, as always, by our friends at the Wild Rose Casinos in Jefferson, Emmitsburg, and Clinton. We'll be back with all of our great Iowa Everywhere programming on Tuesday. Have an awesome Monday, and remember, do not stare directly at the eclipse.
Iowa Everywhere.